I will call this meeting of the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness to order. Thank you all for attending. And first, I would just remind members, we don't currently have any LCs for committee bills, but we have until the 24th of February, so Tuesday 24th, if there are any, they're still out there. So we want to introduce these committee bills. We have until that point to do that, so. Okay? So at this point, I'd like to open the public hearing on House Bill 63. Mr. Administrator?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 2763, it allows public employers to compensate deployed employees, stipulates the amount shall not exceed the base salary on the date of deployment. Meeting date is today, February 10th, and then we'll have a work session 2 days from now on Thursday the 12th. There's no revenue impact. There may be a fiscal impact. No statement issued yet, and there's no subsequent referral.
Okay, very good. So we have several members scheduled to speak, so I'll call on Representative Fagan first, the first group, and you bring up. And all members who are going to testify, if you just, as you start your testimony, provide your name for the record, please.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Representative Fagan, for joining us here today as well. And good afternoon to the Chair Lively and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Craig Roberts, Sheriff of Clackamas County. And first of all, I want to say I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to be heard on this important subject, and I urge your support for House Bill 2763. I'd also like to let the committee know we also have other members here that have been extremely helpful in this process. The Three Rivers VFW, Post 1324. Retired Major General Dan Hitchcock is here. We also have sworn and non-sworn members of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, along with some family members. And seated to my right is my good friend and deputy, Mark Griffith, who helped bring this matter to my attention and forward. So thank you all for coming today, and my sincere thanks to the folks in this room that are veterans and in the military. I want to say my personal thanks to each and everyone who's served our country. This is a very important issue to me personally because I've had the opportunity to see firsthand the impact of military deployment can have on our employees and their families. I can just say at the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, we're very fortunate to employ many veterans as well as citizen soldiers who continue to serve the country as members of the National Guard and Reserves. I've spoken to my friend here, Deputy Mark Griffith, and other deputies who have been on multiple deployments while working at the Sheriff's Office. And I can just tell you that on each and every deployment, I can see how this has taken a toll on our employees and their families. And I believe personally as an individual and as an employer, and believe we as a county and state, and really as a country, all of us really need to step up in many other ways to help support our folks that are being deployed overseas. I wanted to tell you what we started to do in our organization to better support our military at the Sheriff's Office. We formed a committee of really various partners and created a military support program. It took several months, and we developed some policies and procedures about how we could go about supporting our troops and their families during deployment. And as I mentioned earlier, some of the folks that are here today were a part of that work group. I have to brag about them because they're just an amazing group of individuals that were really trying to identify some creative ways to help support our soldiers. The goal of this group has been to for the program is to support the employees and their families before they leave for active service, during their deployment, and upon their return. While we realize there's a lot of things that we can do, we see that we also need some help from you and other folks here in Salem to help some of the efforts to move forward and supporting our troops and their families. So I wanted to point out that there's two crucial details regarding this House Bill 2763. First of all, it doesn't create an unfunded mandate. I think that's important. It also gives agencies of government the option to supplement the income of employees while they're deployed on active service, and it does not require them to do so. Secondly, this option is available in the private sector. Many Oregon private employers already have policies like this in place. And speaking only for myself, I can tell you that we already have money budgeted for our soldiers that are deployed and their salaries. So it really doesn't create an additional burden for us to cover that gap while they're deployed. So being able to offer this benefit can be a huge impact to a young family and children. And furthermore, I just believe it's simply the right thing to do. I wanted, before I turn it over to Deputy Mark Griffiths, is just tell you that while he was getting ready for one of his deployments, I sat down with him before he was getting ready to go and really was very forthright and honest with me about the challenges that faced he and his family. And so it was really at that point that he enlightened me about what we might be able to do to better help support him and his family. And it was really with what he brought forward, we were able to take it to Shamia, who took it to the next level to help us bring this to your attention today. So I think before saying any more, I just want to turn over to Mark and also publicly and personally thank him for his service, because it does mean so much to me. So thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Sheriff. Good afternoon, Chair Lively and ladies and gentlemen of the committee. For the record, I'm Mark Griffith, the deputy with Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. I was on active duty from December of 2008 to August of 2009 in Kirkuk, Iraq, specifically at FOB Warrior. I experienced what I imagine most deployed members of the armed forces experience: fear, adrenaline, excitement, pride, and so on. All of that coupled with the separation from my family and dealing with not being able to be there and help them. Being deployed created a real hardship for me and my family. To begin with, it meant changing the health insurance provided by the Sheriff's Office to the military's TRICARE program. This posed a serious challenge, as it meant changing doctors, much higher out-of-pocket costs for myself and my family. Fortunately for the currently deployed, Sheriff Roberts worked with the Board of Clackamas County Commissioners to allow them to retain their existing coverage while they're deployed. Another critical impact was that being deployed meant a huge cut in pay. My wife and I literally sold belongings so my family could get by while I was away. For example, my wife sold my Jeep and my boat to help offset the drop in pay. If she had not done this, she wouldn't have been able to pay all of our bills. The drop in pay was significant for us and can be even more significant to others of lesser rank. The loss of pay can be as much as 50% reduction in pay. For my family, it was a nightmare. If you can imagine for a moment the wife of a wife or husband of an airman, soldier, marine, or sailor at home dealing with their family all alone. They're busy taking care of all the family's needs, as well as the constant worry someone's going to show up at the door in dress uniform and inform them that their loved one has been killed in action. The stress is compounded as they try and learn to make ends meet. It requires a lot of work since they still have the same bills to pay, but half the income. Their children must eat and bills must be paid, which prior to deployment was more manageable. While a loved one is deployed, inevitably something will break: the stove, a leaky pipe, the family car, one of a million things that seems to always go wrong when you're gone. These are just a few examples of a story repeated over and over again all over Oregon for those of us in the public sector. The sheriff and other members of our organization did their best to support me, but current Oregon state law prevents public sector employees from making up the difference in pay when an employee is deployed on active duty. Therefore, on behalf of my family and countless other families like us, I urge you to pass House Bill 2763. Does the committee have any questions for me?
So do members at this point have questions of the deputy or the sheriff?
Can we wait for the whole panel and then ask questions?
Either way, why don't we? Do you want to go ahead and?
I would. Mr. Griffith, when you joined the National Guard, I assume?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you not know what the pay scale was before you joined?
Yes, sir, I did.
And were you not counting on ever becoming active?
No, sir. I definitely counted on becoming active. I joined after September 11th.
Okay, so you knew going in how much it was. You knew how much of a reduction it was going to be.
Is yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Thank you.
Any other questions at this point?
Representative, just a quick
Go ahead.
And Mr. Griffith, sergeant or whatever your title
deputy.
Is. Deputy. Sorry. And sheriff, too. Just want to address you both. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. This is, and Representative Fagan, of course. But this is something I keep hearing about, but nothing's been done. So this is very exciting. I'm looking forward to bringing this forward. And when I don't know for sure, because we don't know all the bills that will come before us, but I have heard of another bill or two that are kind of doing the similar thing and helping out with the differences of your, like your insurance and stuff. And I know that, and we did, this committee did last year or the year before, do, I don't know, two or three memorials to Congress to up the pay and do more at that level. So we're maybe catching up a little bit. Thank
you. Representative Fagan, please.
Chair Lively, members of the committee, for the record, Representative Shamia Fagan from House District 51. And in my very short service in the legislature, I have a very distinct category of bills that I affectionately call the how in the heck bills, as in how in the heck has this not already been changed? And this bill, I think, is gone quickly to the top of that list. From our research, it looks like this has been on the books since the 1970s, an absolute prohibition on public employers helping our military families make up that differential. The reality is, while our military members may be aware of the pay that is going to be, you know, dispersed to them upon active duty, the reality is if they're in the private sector employers have the option, and in fact many good employers do pay what's called the differential, which is just closing that gap between their active duty pay and their pay in the private sector. And that's why we're calling this bill the Military Families Pay Equity Bill. Again, as Sheriff Robert noted, this does not mandate the payment of the differential, but this allows employers who are in the public sector, such as Sheriff Roberts, who can afford it. As he said, they've already budgeted for the entire salary. So to simply pay the differential, the sheriff's department still saves money, but they're at least able to help the military family cover that gap while they're in service so they can still continue to support their family. So very supportive, happy to bring this forward, and hopefully can cross this bill off of the how in the heck list by actually us moving this forward, lifting this prohibition, and allowing our military families to be fully supported while they're out there serving us and serving our country. So be happy to entertain any questions.
Questions?
Kind of more of a comment. I appreciate the bill coming forward. You know, the reality is we have people who make that decision to join and they know what the pay is going to be, but the military pays so poorly that suddenly you have a deployed family who now qualifies for a myriad of social service, food stamps, and OHP. TRICARE is terrible, and we've had doctors kick us off TRICARE before, too. So my husband was in Iraq the same, similar time you were. And so the reality is that suddenly you have a family left behind with lots of children and increase of daycare cost. I mean, there's more to it than just the differential in that pay, and certainly we've had bills to try to address those. Some of them have gone forward and some of them haven't, but the fact is that the cost to social service programs when you suddenly have an E6 who gets deployed and loses that civilian pay job, this is potentially a cheaper and more elegant solution to solving suddenly a family that's, you know, getting $793 a month in food stamps that maybe they didn't need, but that's suddenly what they're getting. So this might be a good way to solve that problem.
Thank you. Others? So I have a question. I don't which one can answer it, but you mentioned it. My understanding this bill only has to do with the pay portion of the ability where they could make the pay up, but you also mentioned the insurance issue regarding whether they are covered or not covered. And I guess I would just be interested to hear, Sheriff, from your standpoint, what additional issues that created if indeed you continued to provide coverage versus them having to have the other coverage.
Right. What we did in Clackamas County is, first of all, I had a legal counsel research it to tell us
sure
what the
did.
Law provided. And clearly, it basically allowed us, the verbiage is that we may continue health care insurance requirements. And so under this situation, we had to get a board resolution within our county to implement it countywide. And we looked at the totality of the numbers of our deployed soldiers, because that percentage is so small really across the country that it was a small significant impact for our county. So we had a board resolution, passed it before our last deployment of a group that we sent off. We were able to make that change. And I think it was, for us, I can just tell you that it was huge, because many of these families have health issues with children or other issues that right in the middle. One particular soldier, I can tell you that his wife had a high-risk pregnancy right near the end, and they would have had to change doctors at this point completely, which really put everybody into a little bit of a chaos. So for us, we really saw it as a big benefit to maintain that. Obviously, as they're deployed, they're under TRICARE and other military coverage. So it was really just for their families.
Very good. Any other questions of this panel? Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Chair Lively. Mark, I'm not going to pick on you, but Representative Esquivel kind of opened up a line of questioning. And I'm just kind of curious, and this may not help that out, because I can appreciate the personal responsibility. We make decisions, and we need to live with them. But I actually got to thinking about that. As the representative was asking the question, I thought I'd give you the opportunity to answer, because I don't know what your situation was, but I know that sometimes young people go in to the military at 18 or 19, they're not married yet, and they make commitments and decisions, and then two or three years later they find themselves married, and you still have to live with the consequences of your decision. Were you married when you first joined, or?
No, I wasn't. I was 22 years old, September 11th happened, and I chose to serve my country. My wife and children didn't choose to serve their country. My wife married me afterwards and subsequently dealt with a lot.
Thank you.
Representative Peluso.
Sheriff, it's great to see you again. I just wanted to say, in my days as the chief at Gresham, we were able, through some council action, to have this temporarily put in place. So to have this permanently put in place is huge. And also, again, thank you to the veterans and the service provided. It's tremendous. But I also just want to plug our departments. The message this sends to the members of your department is huge, to each and every member, that there is value to what you do, whether you're serving our communities at home or across the universe. So again, I thank you all for your service. I thank Representative Fagan for bringing this forward. It is long overdue. And again, with the members of my department were deployed as well, again, giving them the safety and the security that their families were cared for, we removed just one huge ounce of stress. So thank you so much.
Okay.
Craig, this is a question for you. You know, we've been deploying guys now for quite some time from Oregon. Are all of your employees able to come back? You still have slots for them. I mean, there's some laws around that, but those laws sometimes get set aside if you are in the middle of a reduction in force. Obviously, then that's based on seniority. So have you been able to return all of your force back when they return home from these deployments?
Yes, I think we have not had a problem in that aspect whatsoever. I just will tell you that the reintegration of bringing our folks back from overseas is huge. And I think that oftentimes we don't realize how difficult it is to transition from Kuwait or Iraq or wherever you're at to come back here. And if I was to say one thing, I would say that is a huge transition for our folks to make. And that's one of the things that we've really worked hard on, is this kind of reintegration. And I think that, you know, that was one of the things that Mark was upfront with me about, is transitioning back here to how things were overseas is drastically different and really needing some more time to readjust. So if I was to say one thing, I think just the reintegration back into the United States and under our laws and guidelines is different.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on that note, Sheriff, that we have done work on reintegration, and I'm curious to know how it's working. And one of the big things we have gone from, we hope, let me know if it's not happening, but what they call death by PowerPoint in the 3-day period, and when it's all standing between you and your family, and then a 90-day period, which you can kind of pick and choose how long it takes you to get through it. So is that helping, working? I'm not seeing a big nod.
When I came back, it was still death by PowerPoint.
Okay.
So I haven't got to experience the kinder and gentler yet. So mine was all death by PowerPoint.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you, Representative
Thank
Fagan,
you very much.
Sheriff and Deputy, for taking your time and testifying. We appreciate that very much. So we have three more people that have signed up to speak. Stephen Johnson, Troy Waddell, and Don, I can't quite read it.
Hutchin.
Okay. Hutchin.
Excuse me. No, I don't need anything.
Again, just for the record, make sure you introduce yourself before you speak.
So. Mr. Chairman, members of the council, first of all, I want to say thank you. My name is Stephen Johnson. I'm here representing, I've been a member of the military for about 17 years now, both active duty for 5 years and now as a reservist or guardman. I'll get why both in a minute. But first of all, you know, our military is a volunteer military, and this country is what it is today because of our military. Sorry. Very important issue for me. Might get a little emotional. So being in that military, I have experienced exactly what you guys are talking about today. And yes, I did enter knowing what the pay scale is. I entered at 19 years old. So what that meant to me is it gave me security. My family didn't have the funds to send me to college. It gave me financial stability at the time. It gave me the ability to have food and shelter. It was a great opportunity for me. As I progressed through the ranks, I kept my supervisor informed on what my goals were, and that was to complete college. So he came up with an idea that I could join or actually separate from active duty, become a reservist, and able to pursue my goals in college. So what that gave me then, I spent the next, now it's been, well, I spent 16 years total at that time. I finished my degree, was able to start a family, and after college, I became a firefighter, which then gave me more stability in the way that we lived. And our lifestyle changed because of that. We started a family, we were able to have kids, we have a mortgage, we now have car payment. All in all, my wife and I are very good about planning and being financially responsible. My rank in the type of job, I was in pararescue, which is a rescue organization in the Air Force. A very dangerous job, took me overseas many, many times. Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Turkey. I was involved in the Kosovo conflict. Very dangerous stuff. My wife, you know, had to deal with just not only the stress of me being gone, but also my cut in pay. That actually ended up forcing me out of the Air Force, which at the time, if this bill was in place, I probably would have been able to stay. But because of a financial situation and our planning, the way we wanted to raise our family, it was better beneficial for me to get out at that time. Sorry. And we took a 10-year break. I recently have rejoined. I've been in for the last 2 years. Back in the Guard now. I was in the Reserves. I now have a desk job. I don't get deployed as much. But I'll tell you the experience from before. And even recently, having to go away for 2 months, granted only 2 months, and luckily enough, being a firefighter, I'm able to use leave and trade time to help us financially bridge that gap. But some soldiers are not able to do that and don't have that opportunity. And the financial stress that that gives to our people who we leave behind. So I was gone for 2 months. I took a 50% cut in pay for those 2 months. And we knew I had to find a job that would allow me to be gone only for that amount of time. So I had a limited amount of jobs that I could do. And I believe in serving our country. And this bill would greatly help those people that want to serve their country and still participate in their community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chairman Lively, ladies and gentlemen, my name is, for the record, Troy Waddell.
I currently work for Lake Oswego Fire Department. I'm also a member of the Oregon Army National Guard. I'm a first sergeant for Charlie Company 141 Brigade Support Battalion. I've been in the military for 20 years. I was one of the first 20 in Oregon deployed in 2002, right after 9/11. I served from 2002 to 2003 as a flight medic with the 1042nd Medical Company. I also did another deployment to Iraq, short-term deployment to Iraq. As a sitting first sergeant, I see today the effect that this bill would have on some of my soldiers. We currently have over 600 soldiers deployed to Afghanistan. I was on that deployment list, and at the very last second, I was cut. I think it was a blessing. However, I still see today, and I communicate with a lot of soldiers today, in regards to the stresses they feel being deployed in Afghanistan and the issues that their families are facing back home. We have a very, very good support network in the National Guard, but as you know, with sequestration, the budget cuts are horrific this year. Sunday, we had a meeting with our brigade commander, and the budget cuts for the 41st are devastating. So the money is not there. The soldiers are doing what they can. Our support network is there. I've experienced it firsthand, the pay cut. I know when we join the military, we don't do it for the money. None of us have ever joined and said because we want to be rich. We do it for love of country. 9/11 galvanized this country. Unfortunately, budget cuts and fiscal responsibilities being the way they are, this would bridge that gap. The stresses that someone feels during deployment is unimaginable. We cannot sit here and paint that picture for you, but we still do it. Every one of us do it. And I believe the passage of this bill would give that higher degree of security, not only for the soldiers and airmen and sailors downrange, but also their families here at home. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Riddell.
Chairman Lively, committee, I'm Dan Hitchcock. I am retired Major General, Army Reserve, and live in Canby. And some of the things that I do at this point in volunteering, I'm an Army Reserve Ambassador for the Chief Army Reserve, which allows me to work with soldiers and families during deployment, after deployment, kind of help them find resources needed while they're military members away, and also with jobs and preparation for employment. The other organization I volunteer for is the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. That's a Department of Defense organization. We have about 90 volunteers like myself here in the state of Oregon, and our primary role is to work with employers so that they understand the employment and reemployment rights of the military members. And then also we're working with military members so that they understand what their role is to support their employer and keep that line of communication open. The other area that we're involved in is helping military members find employment and work with employers that are willing to hire military members because of what they bring to the table. And the people that have military training with the leadership skills, the skills that you hear these people talk about today, you can't buy on the outside. And so it's pretty easy for those of us in the ESGR, the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, to convince employers that these are the right people that they want working in their company. And so we support this bill very much. It's long overdue, as people have mentioned. When I was in the Army Reserve after I came off of active duty, I didn't have to go through a deployment. But during my training periods, I usually used my vacation or went without pay during that period of time that I was gone. So I appreciate having this bill before you today, and it's very meaningful, it's very important, and it's definitely a recognition for the job that these military members and all branches of the service do today.
Thank you. Any questions for members of this panel? Thank you all very much for taking the time and coming and testifying. We appreciate
Chair Lively, I do have a subsequent question for the sheriff. Can we pull him back up and get a quick question in?
Well, it's up to the sheriff. For the Thank you very much for taking the time.
Believe it or not, this time the sheriff doesn't have jurisdiction.
Go ahead.
Craig, real quick, yes. You know, as I'm sitting here thinking this and looking at the relating to clause on the bill, we're blessed to live in Clackamas County. We clearly have a very bipartisan commission who has made veterans a priority. It's in everything they touch. And not every county is as blessed in terms of finances and resources. And I'm wondering if you know, and maybe you're not the right person, but you manage an agency, so maybe you do know. Is there anything in the law currently that if you were like Crook County and Crook County has, you know, maybe not the funds to do this, is there anything in the law that would preclude the county from, you know, essentially creating a leave pool so that if you do have that differential, and maybe the differential is 3 hours a day is what the difference is being in Iraq versus the current compensation, but if you have members, other county people and other agencies, but in system-wide within the scope of the county payroll, to be able to say, well, you know, I'd like to donate 2 days of my vacation and create a leave system that would help offset in a situation where a county or city government has no extra funds to do this, but just employees want to. Is there anything that you know of in the law that would, you know, that you've ever bumped up against that would preclude us from doing that?
Perhaps, and I'm going to turn around just for a second. I have one captain, chief deputy and captain that might have the answer to that. Kevin or O'Shaughnessy, do you know? I thought Kevin did.
And I guess the question is, if there is something in the law that would preclude a jurisdiction from being able to do that for this purpose, I wonder if Rep. Fagan is open to the idea of an amendment that would add that provision to be able to say, you know, you can take any form of leave, sick leave, vacation, PTO, or whatever is offered as part of your benefits, and say, hey, I want to give 3 days and pool that to help do that offsetting. I've certainly talked to enough people who are county employees who understand that when one of their peers is suddenly deployed and gone, certainly it creates a hole in your system, but I also think that that sort of greater cause care for the family is a priority. So if there is something that's bumping up against that, I would love the relating to clause is right. We could certainly add that in as an amendment if you're open to it, but that would, you know, give folks in other counties where they don't have the resources the ability to kind of come together on a community basis and say, we're still going to find a way to support this guy, and there's nothing in the law standing in our way.
Just to add, I think that I am aware of some sick time transfer, which I think could also, as you kind of mentioned, might be able to work in that category. But I want to introduce Chief Deputy Kevin Lang and Captain O'Shaughnessy from our office. Just if you had a comment about that.
My name is Kevin Lang. I think the answer for us would be that with local ordinance and contract law, it's doable because we currently have situations within our organization where we can donate leave to other members, but it's usually within union and tied to the contract.
And I've seen it for sick pay, but I've just not seen it for this type of pay situation. And, you know, maybe, I mean, I think there's probably, it feels like there's a majority support for this. It's not like we have to work it on the next work session. I'd be interested in just researching that with LC and find out if there really is anything precluding, and if there is something that is a hurdle, then maybe we can use this bill to address that as well and create that opportunity and at least let folks know that the legislature is interested in finding ways to be creative with the resources they do have.
And for the record, I'm Dave O'Shaughnessy. Thank you for your time today. I'm not aware of a statutory requirement state, but most local governments have their own ordinances and rules about how often you can take leave, those types of things. I think, as the chief deputy explained, the transfer might be possible, but I know we also have local rules. We would have to work on ourselves as far as how many days you have to physically work in a month in order to be eligible for some of the benefits that the county provides. And I'm sure every jurisdiction has hopefully similar, but I'm sure vastly different rules. So a lot of that would need to, you know, be addressed locally, whereas this provides us, you know, just the opportunity to say it's allowed.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's my subsequent question. That's good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Fagan, and you. Do I have to recognize you?
Again, for the record, Shamia Fagan. So just to, I think that's a great idea, Representative Parrish. I would prefer to still move it, to still work it on Thursday, and we could amend. I think that Senator Brian Boquist is a chief co-sponsor, just because a lot of bills we put emergency clauses on that aren't actually emergencies. This one is. I mean, as soon as, I mean, this is something that literally people's paychecks will increase the moment we pass this. So I just don't want to slow it down at all, but I'd be happy to, we can start working on an amendment and then maybe amend it on the Senate side. So if possible, Mr. Chair, would still prefer to work it on Thursday.
Sure. And while you're here, Representative Fagan, I just want, so I have this letter from the Oregon Military Department that might, is part of this conversation, and so they've entered this in the record, but it says the Oregon Military Department is pleased to be able to provide support for House Bill 2763. This legislation effectively seeks to expand the services provided to military servicemen and women by an already established statewide donated leave program. So I want to understand better what that means, but it sounds like from the state already has some kind of program, and I don't know how it affects the locals, but so from the standpoint of this particular legislation, it may already be available.
I would suggest, Representative, that you check with LC to find out exactly where we're at on this, because I agree with you. If you can amend it with Brian over in the Senate, Let's go ahead and move the bill. I just want to make sure that it's retroactive, because I made $125 a month when I was in Vietnam, and I'd like to get that back pay.
Sure. Representative Fuso.
Representative Fagan, as going through this, we had a circumstance at the school district where people were deployed. So are they covered under as a public employee? It's far more reaching than just our public safety.
Yes.
Folks, right?
Chair Lively, Representative Peluso, yes. The prohibition, I mean, literally this bill, you know, LC always takes an opportunity to clean up statute when you draft a bill, but literally the operative part of this bill is literally changing the words may not to the words may. It's for all public employers. In fact, we weren't able to make it happen, but we had a couple of teachers who were as far away as LeGrand who were trying to coordinate to be able to call in to today. So the prohibition was for all public employers. So this is removing the prohibition for all public employers. It just so happened that our public safety officials were able to actually be here today.
Great.
Thank you for the indulgence,
sure.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative, anything else further? Okay. If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2763, and I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2108. Mr. Administrator.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 2108 extends the tax credit for physicians at the Oregon Veterans Home until 2022. May have a revenue impact. Statement is not yet issued. It may have a fiscal impact. Statement is not just issued. It has a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits.
Okay. Currently, we have nobody signed up to speak on this bill. What's that mean?
The bill should pass.
Trust me, it doesn't have any enemies.
All those in favor, say aye.
Exactly.
The tax.
Right, and we do have people here that could address if we have questions in that, either from the tax consequences or Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, but I'm not sure if the committee has anything. So this, from the standpoint of us, obviously, if we continue to believe it's good policy, we'd refer it on to the Tax Policy Committee. There was information sent out. The administrator sent out some information earlier on the kind of the history of the program and how much it's been used, which obviously it's been used from the standpoint of the financial impact. It's very little, if any. So does anybody have any questions at this point? Committee members? Issues? Anybody have anything they want to provide? You want to? Try it out and see.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Chris Allenack from the Legislative Revenue Office. I've just been talking to the policy committees about the tax credit review process. So I don't know if you want me to talk high level about that, since this is the one credit you have. There's the In 2013, the legislature passed House Bill 2002, which required the LRO to produce a detailed report on the 18 tax credits that are scheduled to sunset at the end of this year. So I've written that report, released it to the revenue committees last week, and one of the credits discussed in that report is this particular credit. And in terms of the credit review process, the thing that is different this time around is that my time is dedicated to being available to the policy committees to the extent they want to review the policy embodied in any particular tax credit.
Thank you. Just at this point, any questions from members of the committee? Since this is all new to us, but we appreciate your providing that overview.
Okay.
Thank you. Sure.
Molly's going to testify. She can come up here. She's remaining neutral.
Wise dog.
The good dog.
Good afternoon, Chair Lively, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laurie Skillman. I'm Senior Policy Advisor for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Just as a point of information, Senate Bill 53, which is an identical bill to this one, except it says Senate Bill at the top, a different number, also extends the tax credit, and I just came from that particular committee. They ask that I come back in a week and provide them with information on if there is a problem with the supply of physicians in we have the Dallas home, as you know, and the Lebanon home, which just opened up. And so it would be the Dallas home primarily. If there's a problem with physicians providing services to veterans in the homes, you know, did the homes have trouble getting physicians in? I don't have that information. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but I didn't want to testify to that. So I just wanted to let you know they asked me to come back in a week. I will do that, and if this committee so wishes, I will bring that information back to you if you care. Okay?
Sure, I think that'd be helpful. So I do have so in reading through this analysis, the whole point of this was whether or not this tax credit increased the number of medical providers. So in spite of if we may have a shortage today or not enough, did the implementation of this change anything regarding the supply of providers by providing this tax credit or not? I mean, isn't that the intent of it was that we would have providers that we didn't have access to.
Right.
So do we have evidence that says, based on this, that we that changed?
You know, Chair Lively, I talked to our finance department and asked them about that, and they said, you know, we really don't have statistics to demonstrate that. So not from the home. So,
okay. Thank you. Any other questions at this point?
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much for letting us know. Anything else on this House bill? Okay. If not, I will close the public hearing. Okay. So now I think we're ready for a work session. I'll open the work session. We have two bills at this point we can take action on.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2036 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee be rescinded.
Okay, thank you. Rep. Boone moves House Bill 2036 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Representative Huffman.
Thank you for your help on that.
Certainly. And we have all the paperwork?
We do. Yes, sir. We have the letter rescinded from the speaker. We've got both the minimal expenditure impact and our no revenue impact.
Okay. If there is no further discussion, okay. Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel?
Aye.
Rep. Evans?
Excused.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The motion obviously passes and sent to the floor, and Representative Huffman, I assume you're available to carry it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Being a World War I veteran, Representative Huffman, you will do quite well at it.
I think I can get it.
Get that dog back.
That's right. Okay.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the -1 amendments dated 2/4/2015. And this is to House Bill 2645.
Right. Representative Boo moves to adopt the -1 amendments dated 2/4/2015 to House Bill 2645.
This second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, could I have a little time out here because I haven't read the amendment yet.
Well, you certainly can have
it. It was evidently right in front of me, and I didn't know it.
Yeah. No, that's
good thing it didn't snake bite me.
That's okay. That's not a problem.
We're going to dock your expansive pay here.
Is it retroactive?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yes. Retroactive dock, yeah.
Well, this is just kind of some housekeeping, then. Okay.
So I believe this is the amendment that Representative Witt.
Okay, yeah, that's the one Brad talked about.
Right. Okay. Any discussion of the -1 amendment? If there is none, then no objections. The amendment are adopted as proposed.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2645 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development by prior reference.
Thank you. Representative Boone moves House Bill 2645 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Higher Education and Workforce by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Okay, if there's no further discussion, then the clerk will call the roll.
Vice Chair Booth?
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Excused.
Representative
Parrish?
Aye.
Representative
Parrish?
Aye.
Representative
Caruso?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes and the bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development. Any further business to come before? Have I closed the work session? Do I hit the gavel again, or is it closed?
That's it.
One okay.
Close the work session.
No. I'm just making sure I don't violate some rule here, and you guys. any other further business? If not, we'll see you all Thursday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.